us on Talkin' Tabletop. As always, my name is Danny, and this is...
Trevor. Hello.
And today we're going to be changing up the format a little bit. We've talked about this on a few previous episodes, but we want to really bring in the whole idea of Talkin' Tabletop to you guys, and we want to open a discussion line. So we have a couple segments that we're going to be doing before we get into the discussion and the points and counterpoints. But first, I'm curious of what you've been playing lately, Trevor.
So, lately, I've been playing Munchkin Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
The brand new version that just came out, it's got all of its artwork by Kevin Eastman. It actually came out with two different versions, one in color
and one
in traditional black and white.
Oh, yeah, really?
Kevin Eastman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's two editions of
it.
And they're, I mean, it's all the same components. It's the same exact game. But it feels so much, like, thematically different when you see the components in color versus the components in the old, like, Mirage era Ninja Turtles black and white. It, like, takes your mustalgia, which is a new word.
Mustalgia.
Your mustalgia.
When you have an old mustache.
Yes. When you have the old tiny handlebar mustache. Mustalgia. it takes your nostalgia and turns it up to 11, because it just, like, throws you back to the original era before there was ever, you know, Party On Dude and pizza, and shows you, like, hey, I remember these Ninja Turtles. I've been playing TMNT Munchkin. Danny, what you been playing?
I've been playing 5-Minute Dungeon, if you've ever seen that game. It's sold in most big box retailers now. It's one of the few, like, newer games. It literally is 5 minutes to play. You have a timer on the app. Everybody has special abilities, but it's an absolutely chaotic game of you flip over a monster. It says, I need two swords and a scroll or something else. And everybody's just playing cards as fast as they can to beat this within a 5-minute timer. In case you haven't recognized it on the shelf, it's in almost like an hourglass-shaped box. That's like, it's completely asymmetric. It's really strange how it works, but it kind of pops on the shelf. It's a really enjoyable game, and if you like co-op games and you like the franticness of speed games, it's worth checking out. But, you know, that actually is why we're talking about these, is because we are going into our topic, our discussion point, and we're going to be talking about the game boxes, not only just the shape of them, the size of them. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the packaging and the inserts. And I'm going to be taking the pro side of these and why we would want to do this.
I will be taking the con side because big boxes are dumb.
Well, I mean, they can be, but they have their points. So let's just jump right into it.
I'm game.
I'm game as well.
That's the name of my segment.
I forgot that.
See, I did a thing.
That's right. So if only you were in a box right now, it'd be oversized. So where I'm going to go with this is, the first thing is, we got to talk about oversized boxes, because that's really the most common that we'll see. I mean, misshapen size is a problem I kind of have, you know, but I don't see it as too bad of a thing. For example, 5-Minute Dungeon, there's no way I can really put it stacked perfectly with other games, because it is an asymmetric box. But that's kind of the charm that has with it. When I walked by it and saw that on the store shelves, I went, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. This packaging is intriguing. It had no reason to be in that shape of a box, and it probably cost the manufacturers a little bit more to do it. But it definitely popped on the shelf. And a lot of those games that are smaller and need that shelf presence, that's why they put them in boxes that big. To go back, you know, 50, 60 years, in the old Milton Bradley games, everything was about an inch thick, and it was the size of, you know, roughly a Cadillac, taking up that whole wall segment of a store shelf, and you would see exactly what it is. It's like, oh, I'm playing Ouija board, oh, that has a piece that's the shape of a triangle about the size of my wallet, and a board. That's the component. But you knew exactly what it was when you could see it a mile away, and that's a really big point of why they have such big packaging for that. What do you think?
So, if you know me, and you know Danny, you know that we work at a friendly local game store, and probably a good 40% of my job is organizing the shelves. I have to make things fit and basically be really, really good at Tetris. Yet I know that I only have a limited amount of space in which to fit these games, because there you have to make space for comics and statues and miniatures and all this stuff, and I have to make everything fit perfectly. So when you take a game, like, even though it's one of my favorites, Munchkin, it is simply two decks of cards that thick in a box that is that big. That takes up a lot of space, when it could have just as easily been put into the size of a deck box and been fully playable and self-contained there. Another good example is almost the entire catalog of IDW games. It's one of my favorite game publishers. If you don't believe me, go watch our top five game publishers videos. I love IDW games. What I don't love is the fact that their games are enormous compared to the stuff inside them. And the list goes on and on. Splendor. What's another one that comes to mind? Legendary. Again, one of my top favorite games. Other than the board, which they did away with after the very first base set and they went to playmats, the game is just a couple decks of cards, but it's in a box that's massive. And I have to try to not only find room to put this stuff on a store shelf, but then when I get these games, I live in a two-bedroom apartment. It's decent sized, but I have a decent sized collection of board games. A good portion of my living room is taken up with just a couple hundred board games because the boxes are so huge, to the point where I've started having to try to go minimalist and, you know, multi-package games together in like hard storage boxes just because I don't have the room to put this stuff out in its original box. It's ridiculous sized.
Yeah, I can see that point, but at the same time, if they're planning for expansions, which we both know that they're not always planning for expansions, I mean, even a game like Machikoro with both expansions is still about a deck box and some tokens. It can fit in one of the expansion boxes, but a good example of that is I like it when they oversize it a little bit and make it a little more comfortable to fit the things. And then that way, if you want to combine the games and you want to put them in one box, it can save you space. What I did, for example, is I took the Forbidden games, which I'm not a big fan of tins, because I like tins themselves, but when I store my games upright and to the side, and the tins won't hold the thing closed. So when Forbidden Sky came out, I took out the insert, which I hated to do. It was a beautiful insert. It worked really well. But I took out the insert, and I took Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert, and I put all three games' components in that one box, not only saving me space, not only letting me keep the tins and use them for other things that I want, that I'd rather put in them and that aren't board games and storing sideways. I was able to put that whole experience in the game because of the extra room that they gave me. Now, I don't think that was their intention, but it was a thing that worked out really well for me. And that is on top of, you know, the box, a lot of times, like for space, I'm going to use Tokaido as an example, because Tokaido is a beautiful game, and sure, the box is big, but it allows you that extra room to put expansions, to put organizers the way that you want it, and that's not to say that they're wasting space, they need it for that board, but the components in it, as soon as I got expansions for it, I could just throw them right under the insert or take the insert out, and it works out really well. And then I don't have boxes lying everywhere for me.
For those that don't know, what Danny's talking about is if you get the expansions of Takeda, you can lift the tray up, put the expansions in their original boxes underneath.
Yep.
And that's kind of nice that it's all self-contained. However, you actually brought up a point that I wanted to talk about, and that is sometimes people put games in stupid boxes or tins. Game right. I love your games. Stop putting them in tins. Seriously. It's the worst. And, like, it's a beautiful tin. They emboss it. The whole thing gives you this thematic feel, and it's the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen, and then you try to put it on a shelf and it fits nowhere. Or worse, you get into the case that I did, where it starts to damage your other game boxes because I store horizontally, and when you put a flat cardboard box with a smaller tin on top, and then you put a couple of other things on top of that, it then indents the cover of the box. And I hate it, and it needs to stop, and it's something that we need to talk about. I don't have a therapist for my board game damages. You do. That said, for me, I think having a good maximization use of space is better. It makes me think of games like Grim Forest by Druid City. Okay. They did the most beautiful tray. It has separate things for everything, and none of the space goes unused. Everything is perfectly measured out to fit everything in there. Another classic example is Small World. Small World has everything in its place and a place for everything. And none of the space goes unused. I know that when I put my Small World box on the shelf, that game is taking up all the space in the box. That there's nothing going unused. There's nothing going empty. Versus, you take something like Munchkin. And sometimes these companies are so hyper aware of their misuse of space that they actually release a separate product in order to make better use. Another example that comes to mind is one of my personal favorites, Smash Up, where AEG took this game that fit, you know, maybe about that much space in their box that big, and they released another storage box, the big geeky box. And it's an even better idea because now not only can I fit all of my stuff in one box, but it came with bonuses. So if there were factions that were harder to get, if there were token storage issues, they were able to release another product that said, hey, we understand that there's an issue with our original packaging, but we want to fix that. So here's the thing that fixes that. The Munchkin storage box, the Munchkin box of holding is another one that comes to example. Other than the Ninja Turtles set, just because it's got Kevin Eastman's glorious artwork on the front, every set of Munchkin that I own fits in one of my two storage boxes. There's one for just the original Fantasy Munchkin and its expansions, and there's one for all the various other versions, like Pirates and Spies and everything. And I put them in their own separate boxes because I'm not going to have 40 to 50 versions of Munchkin sitting on my shelf when it's nothing more than a couple of cards and maybe some standees, which most of the time I just kind of put those aside because you don't really need it. Even the board itself can be a bit superfluous in some of these games.
Yeah,
it's nice. Yeah, it looks cool. But making your box bigger just because you didn't have a better strategy for how to present the game can sometimes be its biggest detriment, like a Legendary, like a Munchkin, where the boards are pretty, but they're unnecessary. Tighter space is always better because it means you can put more games on a shelf versus less games because, hey, the box looks pretty.
Well, from a retail standpoint, that makes more sense. The more product, the more you'll likely sell. But from the publisher's standpoint, I'm going to use Machi Koro as an example from IDW, which is notorious for having, it's only like 120 cards and some tokens, but it's in a box that's almost the size of a Ticket to Ride box. And that is not by accident. The original, I think, Japanese version comes in a really tiny tuck box. And IDW, I'm sure when they thought, they were like, well, we have a game with nice artwork. We need to show this off. And that was honestly what made the sale for me. When I saw that really cool, almost minimalistic artwork that Machi Koro had on a store shelf, I was like, wow, this is kind of cool looking. And it's only $30 for a box this big. Okay, well, that's all right, you know. I don't mind that. That's not a bad deal. So I bought the game and I fell in love with it. And I think that if it was just in a tuck box or something small, then I might not have done it. And now, even though I give trouble to some tins, I should clarify, not every tin does it. And Sushi Go is a good example. Sushi Go Party, I don't like the tin because it's a bigger tin. But Sushi Go as a base game is good. The only problem I have with Sushi Go Party outside of the tin is the fact that the insert stops halfway and then the pawns don't fit in it. As soon as you tilt it, the pawns are everywhere. I don't like that.
And sometimes
it hurts. But let's take, for example, the Sushi Go base game. That one's good. Yogi by Gigamic. That's just a couple decks of cards in a tin, and the tin is hinged. And so it doesn't fall open for me. It handles it really well. And so I think that packaging is really effective. And then the last example I'm going to use is Chronicles of Crime as an example too, where the board takes up most of the box, The box is, you know, standard ticket to ride size, but it's about half the thickness as well. It works really well because even though it's just a few decks of cards and a board, the insert is beautiful. It actually has a separate part that's clear that clicks in and holds the cards in place, thus solving the problem that if you move it around, those aren't going anywhere and they're sorted the way that they intended. I am going to kind of counteract myself because as soon as I bought an expansion just the other day, and I wanted to tell you about this, and it had possibly the worst insert design box to component. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it's for a game I like. It's for a game called Stonehenge. It's an anthology board game. I don't know if you've seen that or not, where a bunch of well-known designers did this. Well, I bought the expansion. And to give you an example of the size of box it is, if you go to your store and look at Ticket to Ride, imagine chopping that in half, right? Because the actual copy of Stonehenge is about the same size as Ticket to Ride. It's a big box, right? And that justifies the components. The expansion is half of that. It's like cut in half. It's probably 3 inches thick. It's 12 inches long, probably about 6 inches high. You know, it's a big box. So I was like, oh, great. It even says on there, comes with 4 new games. Awesome. Well, you know those little, in Ticket to Ride, you know those little discs that they use for scoring? That's like maybe half an inch wide. And yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. It's really
like
small.
Like the size of a nickel.
And then the sticks that they use in Catan, you know, for the roads, also about an inch long and really small. Mm-hmm. They have their own versions of those. They're plastic. And each set, each color set has, I think, like, 5 to 10 discs, and 5 to 10 sticks. So you can imagine how small that is, right? When I opened this box, there was a rule book that was the size of the original box in this half-sized box. So they curved it around the insert, permanently bending the rule book. And then when you lifted that out, you saw 2 little packages held up in the center by a massive insert that was transparent so you could see the depths of the box below the components. It was the most grossly overdone box I have ever seen, and it stressed me out that they put a rule book that was too big for the box in a half. Oh my god. If you want to laugh, if you want to get a good laugh, it's Stonehenge the Nocturne expansion. Go look at a picture. Maybe we'll post one on the video. It's insane.
I forget if you were pro or con now.
I was pro.
Because I think you just helped me win that.
No, it was the fact that the box was so big that it sold me on it. But it did trick me, I will admit. It was very sad.
Now, to help you out as much as you just helped me out, I will say one of the good things that has come from larger board game boxes is we've seen other companies come to fruition.
Yep.
Because of larger board game boxes. These are companies like Game Trays, Broken Token.
That's true.
Where they have designed these kind of, you know, punch out, knock down, assemble yourself, fits inside the original box, and makes storage space for the game, and then will leave space for expansions. One of the ones that I know that you have talked about before is the insert for Dominion, where you can fit the base game of Dominion, this deck builder, in its original box and a bunch of other expansions in one box just because of this insert. Legendary is another one.
I think the version I'm thinking of is the Broken Token wooden one. But yes. The same idea,
yeah.
Right? They make it efficient.
Yeah, Game Trays is another one where they will design special custom vacuum form trays for these games. And you're seeing them actually in the original retail releases in a lot of games, like Grim Forest, which we talked about earlier, or Wasteland Delivery Express.
The Wreckers.
Yeah.
I believe you
said. Yeah, where people are actually designing trays around their games now, something that, you know, Days of Wonder caught on 2 years ago. But that said, on my other topic that I just wanted to touch on really quick, of why more economic box size is better. And that is because gamers love to congregate. If there's nothing we love more, there's nothing we love more than having a consistent gaming group. However, if the guy that owns all the games is the one that's hosting the party, that's great. But sometimes, you're not always gaming at your own abode. Sometimes you're taking your games to a friend's house. Now, I could take a game that will play 2 to 6 players, like a Flux, that is no bigger than this here pad of paper. And I can bring this size box in my pocket to my friend's house and play a up to six player card game. And we can play it multiple times and have tons of fun. And it's a teeny tiny box versus something like a Machikoro that literally has no more cards in it than a game of Flux does. However, I now have to bring a much larger box if I want to bring a few games that are similar to this, like a Splendor that grossly overuses the size of its box, like a Takanoko. These are some of my favorite games, but I have to bring a container in which to carry these multiple games to a friend's house when I could just as easily throw them all in one box and carry 10, 12 games over to a friend's house. Yes, you lose some of the thematic design in the cover of the box, but is that really such a loss? When you have to ask yourself, is it the cover of the book that you love, or is it the pages and story within? That said, that has been our points on I'm Game, pros and cons. But we want to know what you want to talk about. Was there some points we missed? Was there some ideas that you never really thought about before that you found really interesting and you want to let us know that, hey, that was a cool idea? Make sure and let us know down in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube or on Facebook or on your favorite podcast platform, as we are available everywhere that podcasts are downloaded. But until the next time, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you punch that bell in the face so that it knows that you are here. And I've been Trevor.
And I'm Danny.
And we will see you when it's time to talk some more tabletop.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.